Alrighty, open your Bibles here tonight to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to be there, and then we're going back to the book of Daniel, chapter 5. But I want to start here this evening, and the title of the message here tonight is Watch and Be Sober. Watch and Be Sober. And sober means just clear thinking. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1 says, "But of times and of the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be," what? "Sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." Let us pray here this evening. Dear Lord, thank you for your word. Bless it to our hearts. And Father, I pray that you would guide us and help us be watching and sober believers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, turn with that in the background, that little phrase there in says in verse 3, "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them." Well, keep that in mind. Turn to the book of Daniel here, Daniel chapter 5. And it's quite interesting if you compare Daniel chapter 4 and chapter 5. You have two kings here. Nebuchadnezzar is one king. Belshazzar is another king. Now, Nebuchadnezzar was Belshazzar's grandfather. And last week we looked at Daniel 4, Nebuchadnezzar, and all that God did in and through his life. And the end of it was, Nebuchadnezzar says in verse 37 of Daniel 4, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and honor the King of heaven." It sounded like God got his attention. He turned from a man that was thinking all about himself and what great things I've done. All of a sudden, his attention wasn't on himself. It was on Almighty God. And he wanted to extol, honor the King of heaven, all whose works are of truth, whose ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he's able to abase. And that's his testimony. What a great testimony God did in that man's life. Well, you roll into chapter 5. Now, there was a series of kings short-lived before Belshazzar came on the throne here. And verse 1, "Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before his 1,000. Now, what is happening at this point? The Medes and the Persians are fighting. Now, Belshazzar was second in command. He was the son of his father. He was second in command. His father was out fighting the Medes and the Persian outside the city gates, Naplosa, and he was out fighting. And Belshazzar was inside. Now, he made a feast to 1,000 of his lords. Now, during this time, it's estimated they probably had enough food to last 20 years inside this, because this is a huge city. They had the water, the Euphrates, running through the city. He had food to eat, he had water to drink, he had his high city walls. Some of these walls, they estimate, were 300 feet high. They felt they were safe. They felt they were safe. And so, even though the enemy was around them, even though the enemy was right at the gate, so to speak, Belshazzar just wanted to kind of like have a way of encouraging his people and just like, "I'm not worried about this. I'm not worried about what's happening out there." And so he had a great feast to his thousands. Drank wine before the thousands. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem. Tell me a little about this temple here. Of the wonders of the world, would that temple have been one of the great wonders of the world? Wouldn't it have been? And you know, Solomon, when he built this thing, there was nothing ever like it. You remember in the book of Ezra, when those that came back from the exile that remembered the first temple and the young men that never seen the first temple? What did the old people do when they saw the new temple being built? What did they do? They wept. But the young people who never seen that temple, they were, yeah, we're ready. They were all cheering. The old wept because they knew this was going to be nothing like the first temple. Now, Belshazzar, he was trying to give a pep talk and a rally his people there because that enemy was right outside the wall. He said, hey, it's got all under control. I want to show you something. Remember this temple way back in? Remember these people? We conquered them. And we defeated them. And so he was bringing out all these golden vessels just to bring attention. Well, he brought the gold and the silver vessels, which his father Nebuchadnezzar taken out of the temple in Jerusalem, and his king and his princes. When it says father, it means, let me ask you a question here, just a little side note. Is the word grandfather ever in the Bible?
I don't think so.
It's not. It's not. But are there grandfathers in the Bible? He is. So when it says father here in the Bible language, that can mean any of your ancestors before you can be your father. Do you see how that works? And so some people try to twist this here and say, oh, we know that, you know, Belshazzar wasn't Nebuchadnezzar's direct. Yeah, that's right. But in Bible language, that's saying any of your forefathers. So which his father, Nebuchadnezzar, taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, and the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines drank therein. And they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. Now, tell me about these vessels. Were these vessels dedicated to the worship of God? How do you think God Almighty felt that these vessels that were dedicated to him for his glory and his honor, and all of a sudden he took them and brought them in, and they were drinking wine out of them and making merry, and they were pleasure seeking and all that they were doing. And what did they do in verse 4? They drank wine and they praised the God of what? Gold and silver and brass and iron and wood and of stone. Huh. Now, what do we read in 1 Thessalonians? Be sober and what? Watch. When they say peace and safety, sudden what? Destruction comes upon. Does that sound a little bit about what's going to happen here? Do you know what I'm saying? Because this is, in verse 5, see, that's the setting here. Belshazzar, he wasn't thinking a thing about the true and living God. Verse 5, in the same hour came forth a finger of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall in the king's palace. And the king saw part of the hand that wrote. Now, I ask you a question here. When Moses talked about the Ten Commandments, how did he describe them? Didn't he say that the finger of God wrote these commandments? The same finger that wrote the Ten Commandments is writing here. Did you ever think about that? Same finger. You don't think God doesn't take the Ten Commandments seriously? Thou shalt have no other what? Gods before me. What gods were they worshiping? Of wood and stone. And you know, God doesn't take lightly to that. Well, he had a false security. Belshazzar had a false security. He thought he was safe in his kingdom. He had food, he had water, he had security of the walls. But that was a false security. Now, if God says you're done, does that mean you're done?
Amen.
Okay.
Go on.
You're gone. And for let's look at this situation here. The king's countenance was changed. Now, I want to tell you something about this. I feel that when God's hand was there, the Holy Spirit comes to what? Convict of sin, of righteousness, and judgment to come. That's the working of the Holy Spirit. And I think when God showed up at that banquet, the party was over. All their reveling was over. Because he was dealing with a man that had turned his back on him. Now, here, his countenance was changed. Why? Because the air was charged with the presence of God. He felt that conviction. His thoughts troubled him because he had no room for the true and living God. So that his joints of his loins were loose and his knees smote against each other. Would that be a man that's it's got some inner turmoil, would you say? You think he's got some inner fear going on there? There he is like, I won't ask for a raise of hand, but if you ever had your knees shake against each other, you know what this man felt like, okay? He was nervous. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers, and the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, who shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet, have a chain about gold about his neck, and be, what ruler would they be? Third ruler. Why? Because he was second and his dad was first. And Nabonus was outside the city fighting the Medes and the Persians. So that's why he'd be third ruler in the kingdom. All the king's wise men came in verse 8. They couldn't tell him. Couldn't read it. And now, this king was so taken back by what God had shown him. He didn't know what to do. Verse 9, he was just astonished, it says. Verse 10, the queen, by reason of the words of the king and the lords, this spread all through Babylon. The queen heard about it. Now, look at verse 11. There is a man in thy kingdom and who is the spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of thy father, your grandfather, light and understanding and wisdom like the wisdom of the gods were found in him, whom thy father, King Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, king, I say, thy father made master the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding and interpretation of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in this same Daniel. You know what's interesting about this? He never knew who Daniel was. He didn't have any idea who this great man was in his kingdom. Now, how can you have a man like that? Would you want a man like that in your administration helping you? Now, I don't know if Belshazzar, he was just... Did we have some great forefathers in America that our younger generation knows nothing about?
Absolutely.
It happens all over again. And the younger generation, Belshazzar, he didn't have time for these old people. But I tell you, there was some wisdom in Daniel that he needed. And if he had been counseled by Daniel, this may have been a different chapter. Well, verse 13, Daniel was brought in before the king and... Are you Daniel? Children of the captivity of Judah? Now, you're Daniel. Okay. When Daniel prayed three times a day and they were going to throw him in the lion's den, where did he pray toward?
Jerusalem.
And what was in Jerusalem?
The temple.
Where was his heart?
Toward
God in the temple. What did Belshazzar pull out that belonged in the temple? Can you imagine Daniel walking in there and seeing... That was to the worship of my God. And you're profaning it. And I almost feel he walked in there and saw that was given to God. And he was like, you ever had to control yourself? I expect for him, he probably had to restrain himself. Because has anybody taken the Lord's name in your presence and that bothered you? I had a man one time curse God, take his name in vain. I asked him, I said, why do you curse God? Why do you take his name in vain? I asked him point blank because I didn't want to hear it. I was tired of hearing his mouth running. And I just asked him, why do you do that? And for Daniel, when he walked in there and saw all that stuff that belonged in the temple, that was where his heart was. Well, and anyway, he wanted to know. Verse 17, Daniel answered and said to the king, let thy gifts be to thyself and give your reward to another, yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known in him interpretation. Thou, O king, the most high God, gave Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, a kingdom, majesty, glory, and honor. Now, I want you to think about this. Do you think he heard about Nebuchadnezzar eating grass? Do you think he heard about his grandfather's story? I'm sure he heard about that. How about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego going through the fire and coming out the other side? And Nebuchadnezzar said, I see a fourth person in life, one like the Son of God. You don't think he didn't hear that story? And you know what Belshazzar, I think, did? He just blew it off. He had a false sense of security. It don't matter. I'm my own king, so to speak. He just blew it off. And for majesty gave him all people, nations, language, trembling fear before him. Whom we keep alive, he keep alive. Whom we set up, he'd put down. But when his heart was lifted up in pride, verse 20, his mind hardened in pride, he was disposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast. And his dwelling was with the wild donkeys, and they fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men, and that he appointed over whomsoever he will. But look at verse 20. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, has not, what's that next word?
Humbled.
Humbled thyself, though thou, what's that next word? Knewest. In verse 22. Now, does God hold us accountable for what we know? He does. And he knew all this, and yet he did not humble his heart before Almighty God. But thou hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and hast brought the vessels, his house, before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the God of silver, of gold, brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God of whose hand thy breath is, and whose all are all thy ways thou hast not, what's that next word?
Glorified.
You know, is God looking for some people to glorify him? He is. Belshazzar, he missed it. Now, he thought there was peace and safety. Well, what does 1 Thessalonians 5 say? But what? Sudden destruction shall come upon them. Then he reads the writing. And for time's sake here tonight, I won't read those passages, but the interpretation was, in verse 26, God has numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Thou art weighed in the balances and are found wanting. The kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persian. What could have happened between verse 28 and 29? What could have happened? He could have repented. Did it go well with Nebuchadnezzar when he changed his attitude toward God? Did God do a reversal in his life? Totally. But between 28 and 29, guess what? Belshazzar had an opportunity. Say, Daniel, you're right. I've been so wrong. God have mercy upon me. But what did Belshazzar do? Now, in the beginning, he said, if somebody reads this to me, I'm going to give you the golden chain, and you'll be third commander. You'll be the third ruler. Look at verse 29. Then commanded Belshazzar, clothed Daniel with scarlet, put a chain of gold about his neck, and made a proclamation concerning that he should be third ruler in the kingdom. Daniel just said, your kingdom's done. Why are you making me a ruler? It's not going to happen. And look at verse 30. In that night, what happened to Belshazzar? He's done. When they think peace and safety, what? Sudden destruction comes upon them. So what's the message to people that need to get right with God? What's the message? Don't wait. Does God have a deadline? He does. Where is that deadline drawn? God knows. I don't know. God knows. But for sinners that need to get right with God, there's a deadline. Belshazzar, he stepped over it. Now, chapter 4, there's hope. Nebuchadnezzar, he humbled himself. God blessed him. Chapter 5, Belshazzar, he did not humble himself. And it cost him the kingdom and his life, and it was changed forevermore. It's quite a contrast between Daniel 4 and Daniel 5, isn't it? Two kings, totally different results. One had a great kingdom. The other one lost everything that he had, even his own life. Watch and be what? Sober. Think clearly. Think clearly. Well, let's pray here. Dear Lord, thank you for what we looked at here tonight, and help us to watch and be sober as believers, that we aren't caught unawares. And Lord, there's so many people around us who are perishing, but Lord, I pray that you would help us and guide us in paths of righteousness, that we would honor you and glorify you and humble ourselves. God, you refuse the proud, but give grace unto the humble. And we ask for your blessing upon us as believers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, take out your prayer sheet.